The Philadelphia Phillies are 2 games over .500, but my buddy over here, Troy, has some strong words for Rob Thompson. Good morning, my friends. We're going to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to try and host our wonderful First Pitch podcast. My name is Drew. You can find me on the old Twitter. I'm not calling it X Machina at Drew Crabtree 12. That there is Troy cheesing it up. Troy B Baseball on Twitter. Thank you for subscribing. If you're not subscribed, please do. It would be really cool. All the cool kids subscribe to the First Pitch podcast right here on YouTube, as well as wherever you get your wonderful podcasts. Check the link in the description for our Substack. Troy's got a spicy one in the inboxes this morning. I ain't going to tell you what it's about, but I imagine that 90% of baseball fans can agree. Troy, how are you this fine morning?
I'm doing good, man. Finally getting over this sickness and just got some post-nasal stuff going on. So I'm still a little scratchy, but we're making it. We're making it. I'm ready. I'm ready to bang on some Phillies, man.
Oh my goodness. I love it. I love ranting about my Reds, but I know that when it comes to Rob Thompson, you've got your strong feelings for one of baseball's premier clubs. But we had some baseball last night, didn't we?
We sure did.
So the Atlanta Braves are continuing their little skid to start the season. They dropped 3-1 to the Toronto Blue Jays, dropping them to 5-13. Chris Bassett got the win for the Jays. His ERA is a ridiculous 0.77. Meanwhile, Spencer Strider's return to the game was spoiled. Is it panic time? Our buddy Lindsey Crosby is on Twitter, is tweeting through it, and he's like, listen, I'm about as, you know, real as it gets, but it's hard. It's hard to get through this.
Yeah, it's getting close over there in Atlanta. I think that they just had a bad matchup yesterday with Chris Bassett. The offense definitely needs to step up, but I think that I don't think this Strider start is indicative of what he's going to do the rest of the year. He really had a good start. He was just left in an inning too long. Which managerial issues seem to be the case in the National League East, but it's getting close to panic time for the Braves, but not there quite yet.
Goodness gracious! No one really expected the Braves to just get out the gate this poorly. The Mets and Twins went to 10 innings. Twins took it 4-3. That's a good one right there. The Mets are the leading team in the NL East right now. Too bad the Phillies weren't able to chip away at that lead. We'll get to that in a second. The Milwaukee Brewers took down the Detroit Tigers. Jose Quintana with the win. His ERA is 0.71. Ridiculous. Then the St. Louis Cardinals get back to .500 with a 4-1 win over those Houston Astros. The Cubbies drop another one to the Padres, 4-2. Panic button time for the Cubs, right? Now the Padres are just really good right now. Nick Pivetta got the win, 1.57 ERA. It's nice seeing the Cubbies, you know, level out right now in the NL Central. It's going to be the NL Mid this year. My Red Legs need to get back on track after last night. Orioles took down the Guardians, 9-1. Pirates, other PE team. Pirates ended up getting the win over the Nationals. That's a good win for them. My Red Legs, let's diatribe for a second. I don't know what it is about the Reds and running on the base paths, but they can't do it. Early on in the game, for whatever reason, esteemed third base coach J.R. House decided to hesitate before sending Jose Trevino, a catcher, to score from second, and he was gunned down at home. And then the next inning, Ellie De La Cruz got on base, stole second, and then for whatever reason decided to take off a little bit early or dance around in the middle of the base paths between second and third and got picked off. Those were two runs. because Austin Hayes singled right after Ellie De La Cruz was picked off. Reds lost 5-3. Wasn't great. Nick Martinez is who we thought he was, which is not very good at starting pitching. I'm really ready for Rhett Lauder to come back. I'm ready for Rhett Lauder to return. Diamondbacks beat the Marlins 6-2. Brandon Pfaadt, his record jumps to 3-1. He's got a 3.04 ERA. Your Phillies dropped it to the Giants 11-4. Aaron Nola kind of struggling this year.
Yeah, he's had a rough start to the season. And he had a rough start to this game, too. He allowed 4 runs in the first inning. But he did really settle in after that first inning and was a lot better. He should have been done after the 5th inning. But Rob Thompson, man. Rob Thompson, he added some more runs to Aaron Nola's final line there and artificially increased his ERA. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Nola, but his outing yesterday isn't as bad as the line looks. His managers need ERAs.
Yeah, there have been a couple of starts that you think that you're like, why really? Were they really roughed up for that many? Not really. They were left in a little bit longer than they should have, or there was a bunch of decisions that led to it, but no, I feel you. But we will definitely circle on back to that because it is Thursday, which means it's Phillies Day here at the First Pitch Podcast. And Troy has probably about 2.5 hours worth to start his diatribe about how much he loves Rob Thompson. The Tampa Bay Rays dropped one to the Boston Red Sox 1-0. They both teams ended up with 5 hits on the day. It was a quiet game down there in George Steinbrenner Field. The Royals lost to the Yankees 4-3. The homeless Athletics, that should still be in Oakland, beat the White Sox in the pillow fight of the Central 3-1. The Texas Rangers won 3-1, lifting their record to 11-7. And the Los Angeles Dodgers, Major League Baseball's favorite team and, you know, the godsend to baseball, beat the Colorado Rockies 8-7. We had a full slate of games yesterday, but, you know, they say that managers in baseball don't have that much of an impact on the game. As a Reds fan, I disagree because David Bell actively lost the Reds a handful of games last year. And I think Tito Francona is going to make up for it this year. He had a chance last night. Tito Francona helped him win a couple of nights ago. But over there in Phillies land, where they are expecting to contend for a World Series, you got Rob Thompson over there. Troy, how are we feeling about our old skipper over there?
Yeah, it's not great, man, and it hasn't been great for quite some time. There's a reason why Rob Thompson was a minor league bench coach for decades without ever being promoted to even a minor league manager, and it's because he's not qualified for the job. He is incompetent. He's nothing more than a clubhouse vibes guy, which is fine for a bench coach. But for a manager, you need somebody who doesn't care about the clubhouse vibes. He's going to try to make the team better in whatever it takes to do that. And he is just not cut out for that. If you look at the game a couple nights ago on Monday, the Phillies entered the bottom of the 7th, and the Phillies were down 8-4. Four runs. It's not a insubstantial lead, of course, but it's still within reach. It's not 6 runs like the final score was. JT Realmuto was struck out looking on a pitch that was nowhere close to the strike zone. And JT Realmuto, you never see emotion from JT Realmuto unless it's a reliever full on sprinting from the bullpen and he's standing there waiting and he rolls his eyes. But you never see emotion from JT Realmuto. JT Realmuto was livid at that call. And what is Rob Thompson doing? Sitting over there on his hands, not worried about nothing. And he was asked about that yesterday, before yesterday's game, or before Tuesday's game. And he said something along the lines of, oh, the moment didn't call for it. You know, it's not my job to get the guys fired up. This isn't an exact quote. It's not my job to get the guys fired up over something like that. It's not going to change anything, blah, blah, blah. What? What in the worst managerial answer? Like, that's not even coach speak. That's stupid person speak. I almost cussed real bad. But it's it makes no sense whatsoever. And then, of course, I almost got into the umpiring issue, but no, we're talking about Rob Thompson right now. And then, you know, last night I talked about him leaving Aaron Nola in the game too long. Aaron Nola threw 30, I'm pulling it up right now, 30-something pitches in the first inning of last night's ball game. And he settled in nicely for the second through the fifth. But in the fifth, he allowed another run to give him 5 runs on the night, and that should have been it. There was no reason for him to come out and pitch the sixth inning, especially after throwing 30-some-odd pitches in the first inning and now having 5 runs allowed through 5 innings. Why are you going to put him back out there for the sixth? Because in the sixth, all he did was not have it, for one, and he got a ground out for the first out of the first batter, but then he walked Patrick Bailey. And then he allowed a single to Tyler Fitzgerald with Patrick Bailey advancing to second. And then he walked Mike Yastrzemski to load the bases. So with one out and the bases loaded, that's when Rob Thompson went to the bullpen. And at the time, the score of the ball game was still 5-4. It was still a one-run ball game. Bases loaded, one out. Who does Rob Thompson go to in the pen? Jose Ruiz, who is quite possibly the worst reliever on the roster. If he's not the worst, he's certainly one of them. He entered the game yesterday with an ERA above 7 on the season. The bases are loaded and one out. What do you expect is going to happen when you bring in Jose Ruiz out of the bullpen in a one-run ball game? Like, it just makes the decisions that this man makes, there's no baseball knowledge in them. He doesn't understand the sport a single iota. And it's been for years now. It stems back to the 2023 playoffs against the Diamondbacks, where Craig Kimbrell blew a game in the National League Championship Series to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And so in the next game, in a high-leverage situation, let's bring out the guy who blew last game against the same team in the same lineup. And then you got last year in the playoffs, which I've talked about ad nauseum. You have last year in the playoffs, you bring in Jeff Hoffman, who hasn't pitched in over a week and is dealing with a sore neck. You bring him in, he has a good inning, then he sits for 20 minutes in the dugout, and then you bring him back for another inning. What do you expect is going to happen? This man has no freaking common sense when it comes to baseball, and it's just, he is nothing more than an up-jumped minor league bench coach. And it's infuriating because it makes no sense that somebody sitting at home, a casual baseball fan, knows more about the sport than Rob Thompson and could do a better job of managing this baseball team, who is a legitimate World Series contender that is being held back by Rob Thompson.
Yeah, for sure. The Philly fanatic definitely deserves better. But, you know, they do say that managers make a minimal impact on the game. When you have players to the caliber of JT Realmuto, Bryce Harper, Bryson Stott, even Nick Castellanos, he's got 0.5 BWAR right now, and Edmundo Sosa, just in the lineup, the Phillies should be significantly better than what they are. We had a situation like that in Cincinnati last night. Nick Martinez, you know, he is what he is, and I'm really interested to see, or I would have been interested to see what the Reds could have done with his $21 million, but they probably would have just sat on it or, you know, said, well, I'm poor. But Tito left him in a little bit longer than he probably should have. And Nick Martinez, you know, in general, in Major League Baseball, pitchers aren't very good in the third time around the batting order. At least there's that break. You got the elite pitchers that are just fine. You got the mid pitchers, and then you got the bad ones. And Nick Martinez has historically been terrible third time through the order, which is why he probably thrived in that length man in a bullpen day. He's not the opener. He'll come in the second inning and throw the next, you know, three, four innings, however it is. And he thrived in that role last year. But because the Reds decided to pay him a lot of money, he's in the rotation. So I do believe that managers have an actual role in how the game is played, both in terms of vibes, because, the Reds were flat as all get out with David Bell's, you know, milk toasting. No, we'll just get them next time, and we're just doing all right. You're swinging the bat, and we're playing all right. Yeah. No, get mad once. And I'm with you on the Real Muto strikeout. That ball was in the left-handed batter's box. You got to get fired up sometimes. That was one thing that I respected David Bell for, was he got fired up for his guys. He would literally go to bat for him. You know, he's I'd like to see a little bit of fire out of Tito, but this is a Phillies show. I do want to talk about one other thing that you were a little fired up about. Kyle Schwarber was the left fielder last night. If you did not know, I assume obviously you know because you follow the Phillies every single day. Last night's appearance was Schwarber's first in left field this year and sixth since 2023. He has been primarily the DH over there in Philly, which is a great role for him because he's that kind of guy. He's a good bat. He's not a fielder. Talk a little bit about that and why that was really, really dumb.
Yeah, no, I am glad you asked about that because I did want to talk about the lineup construction as a whole also. But yeah, man, it's the idea behind it was because Robbie Ray was the starting pitcher for the Giants in last night's ball game, and he's a lefty. And so keeping Kyle Schwarber in the lineup against lefties is fine because he feasts on left-handed pitching. Like, he is a left-handed batter who feasts on left-handed pitching. So I think it's since 2023. I have the tweet, and I'll pull it up right quick. But Kyle Schwarber has the most home runs against left-handed pitching in baseball, even more than Aaron Judge. And I thought I had it. Apparently, I did not. I thought I had it bookmarked. Apparently, I do not. But he has 30 home runs over the past year plus against left-handed pitching, even more than Aaron Judge, who only had 28 in that same span. So Kyle Schwarber feasts on left-handed pitching. But the idea was to get Brandon Marsh out of the lineup against the left-handed starter, and Brandon Marsh has struggled this year regardless, lefty or righty on the mound, and Max Kepler out of the lineup against the left-handed starter while not putting Edmundo Sosa back in left field because while he did rob a home run, he was also still not great in left field in his last time doing it. And, you know, they had to keep Castellanos in the lineup. And then the only other option for the outfield is Johan Rojas. I mean, realistically, they probably should have moved Bryce Harper to right and then put Castellanos in left. Defense still wouldn't have been great. And then Schwarber at first, defense still wouldn't have been great, but it probably would have been better than Schwarber in left because the first base hit of the ball game was a double to left field from Willy Adames that probably any other fielder would have held to a single. And Kyle Schwarber made it a lot closer than you would expect Kyle Schwarber to do with the throw that he had to second base on that play. But any other left fielder probably would have got to that ball before there was even a chance for Willy Adames to turn that into a double because of apparently how slow Willy Adames is. But it's just things like this with the lineup construction that just make absolutely no sense. Like, Trey Turner leading for the past few years, Kyle Schwarber has been the normal everyday leadoff hitter for the Philadelphia Phillies. And while he doesn't have the batting average that a lot of casual and old hand fans like to see for a leadoff hitter, he gets on base at a pretty good clip. And he's done that throughout his tenure with the Philadelphia Phillies, even in the years when he had batting averages of 220 or less. He still had an on-base percentage. Like in 2022, he had a 218 batting average, and he had a 323 on-base percentage, so over a 100-point jump. And then in 2023, he had a 197 batting average, but a 343 on-base percentage because he walked 126 times. And so not only does he bring you power to the top of the lineup with his ability to hit 40 home runs, but he brings you an innate ability to get on base that really only Juan Soto rivals him in, and only Juan Soto is potentially better than him. And because while other guys do get on base at that same rate, Aaron Judge is getting intentionally walked a lot of times. He's not drawing walks like Kyle Schwarber is. And then, you know, same thing for Shohei Ohtani. He's getting intentionally walked a lot of times. He's not drawing walks. They can do that, but just not at the same level as Kyle Schwarber or Juan Soto for that regard. And then on the other hand, Trey Turner doesn't walk. He just doesn't, and he doesn't. He gets base hits, and throughout his tenure with the Phillies, they've mostly been pretty empty base hits. And his on base percentage during his time with the Phillies is roughly 320. And you're putting him in the leadoff position, a guy with a roughly 320 on base percentage during his time with the Phillies. Like, what sense does that make? And it just stems from the fact that Rob Thompson has no clue how to run a baseball team. Nobody ever taught him during his decades upon decades upon decades of being a minor league bench coach. And because all they needed him for was to be the clubhouse vibes guy and to make sure the vibes were high in the clubhouse. They didn't need him to be the manager. They had guys for that. They had guys that knew how to manage a ball club, just like 90% of the population knows how to do better than Rob Thompson. And so just putting Schwarber in left field just makes no sense. Along with most of the decisions in the lineup, like, man, I could go for hours on just so many things that Rob Thompson just doesn't understand with baseball. And it's just these stats, these analytics, and these deeper underlying metrics and splits and everything, they are freely and readily available for any and everyone. I don't have to pay for Baseball Reference. I don't have to pay for Baseball Savant. If I had to pay for them, I wouldn't have access to them. So the fact that Rob Thompson doesn't just look at these things that are freely and readily available for any and everyone, I don't get it. Like, why do you not want to use the tools that are available to you that can make your team better and make your lineup better and put them in a better position to be successful? Why you would not use those is just beyond me.
I know that there's been a fun little pushback from the good old days kind of people who hate the analytics driven decisions, to which I say, you don't want to be a slave to the analytics and be like, all right, we have to pinch run, we have to pinch hit every single time, et cetera. But it's just another tool. It's another way of identifying trends and everything like that. And that was one thing that was honestly a scapegoat of the David Bell era. Everyone was like, well, he's Tinker Bell. He likes to mess with the lineup, and it, because of all the analytics and the computers telling him, like, no, he was just a bad manager. Tito uses analytics. But he doesn't make a big deal out of it. If you have these things, like you said, readily available and free, and the Phillies will have significantly better scouting departments than what Baseball Reference and Baseball Savant have. And those are two really good, sources of information. Why wouldn't you use it? It makes no sense to me. Making lineups, making decisions based on vibes might have worked 60 years ago. But in today's game, where sure, only a handful of clubs are trying to win, there's still that difference That's the difference between the Phillies and the Padres, or the Phillies and, honestly, right now, the Mets, because they're trailing the Mets in the division. No, Philadelphia, they have what it takes in terms of talent to make a run. They're one of the World Series favorites for a reason. Like, Baseball Reference still has them only at a 1% chance to win the World Series, 19.4 chance to make the postseason, and I still find that to be incredibly low. Yes, they've lost, you know, 3 out of 4 and 7 out of their last 11. They played the Dodgers, the Braves, the Cardinals, which, all right, that's fair. That's a little disappointing. And then, obviously, the Giants. That's two of baseball's best teams, and the Braves, who you can't really count out, especially when it comes to within the division. That's why I was so excited when the Reds swept the Pirates, because it's within the division. They know you so well. And we got a little bit of good old Pirates last night with them clearing the benches after the Nationals threw at Andrew McCutchen, which is its own thing. I hate throwing at batters. It's so stupid. Grow up. They hit you for a home run. You know, hitting a baseball, one of the hardest things in sports, if not the hardest. Have a little fun with it. And it's also Andrew McCutchen. Go away. The Phillies, I think they'll be all right as long as Rob Thompson doesn't get in their way. But I do think that if this is another season where they are bumped in the wild card round or bumped in the divisional round or even miss altogether, they need to get an upgrade at manager, because you are wasting what should be a powerful lineup. Bryce Harper deserves better, but you know, it's just, we say that about everybody. After they close out with the Giants today, they got 3 against Miami. Then they're on a road trip, 3 at the Mets and 3 at the Cubbies. So they need to steal this win tonight, get the win the series against the Fish, and make up some ground on the Mets. Any last words about, at least to rein it in a little bit? I know that we can continue talking for hours about how much the Phillies should honestly move away from Rob Thompson today, and they could probably go hire someone off of the streets and finish with a better win-loss record. Any final thoughts, Troy, before we get into today's slate of games, which includes some day baseball?
Woo! I love day baseball. Yeah, no, it's just... There are, of course, other problems with the Phillies other than just Rob Thompson, but there are none that are as pressing as Rob Thompson. And what I'm glad about is that it's finally becoming like last year. I was talking about this on Twitter, and, you know, in baseball or Philadelphia Phillies Twitter, I was a pariah because everybody still loved Rob Thompson, but people are finally starting to come around to the fact Rob Thompson ain't the guy. And so I'm glad that people are finally starting to understand that and realize that he is the cause for a lot of these issues, and that over the past 3 years, the Phillies have won in spite of him. And as long as he's still there, any winning that the Phillies are capable of doing will be in spite of Rob Thompson.
Being a player's coach gets you only so far. Fans love it. Players love it. But at the end of the day, are you a really, really good coach or manager, or are you just riding the wave of talent? We're seeing it in the NFL with Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin will be a Hall of Fame coach whenever he hangs it up, because, you know, the winning streak is impressive. But the Steelers haven't done anything other than win 9 games. He's a player's coach and always has been. So it's interesting, funny that that's two Pennsylvania teams. At a certain point, you need a guy that can make those decisions, which is why the Reds went out and got Tito Francona rather than getting rid of David Bell. I think you have words.
Real quick. Speaking of NFL coaches who have rode the wave of talent, make sure you go out today and check out Bill Belichick's win-loss record with and without Tom Brady.
It's so bad. I don't understand. I'm honestly, his time in North Carolina is going to be it's going to be one of those car wrecks that you're just like watching from a distance. And then obviously he's doing the same as Deion with cleaning house, because the spring portal opened up and they had a bunch of people. And I can technically talk college football all day.
Bill's got his girlfriend helping him coach.
Yeah, all 24 years of her. That's so crazy.
I mean, that's a good way to motivate a college man. Put her out on the field.
If they start going on the losing streak, they can do the whole major league thing. We got some baseball today, because this is a baseball podcast, not a Bill Belichick podcast. It's not a full slate of games. We got a bunch of teams traveling. It's either closing out 4-game series or closing out 3-game series, where you took off Monday. To kick off the action, we got the Arizona Diamondbacks at the Miami Marlins. Eduardo Rodriguez, words are hard, versus Edward Cabrera. That one kicks off at 12:10. See, hosting, you got to say a lot of words, it's just all right. Then the Washington Nationals are closing out their series with the Pittsburgh Pirates at 12:35. It's Trevor Williams versus Andrew Heaney. Seattle Mariners look to bounce back from the game one loss and build upon last night's win at the Cincinnati Reds at 12:40 p.m. Emerson Hancock faces off against Brady Singer, the guy with the voodoo that ends up having 15 runs of run support every time he pitches. Those offensive outputs, the 14 and the 11 that the Reds scored, were Brady Singer starts. So I don't know what he does. I don't know if he puts a little extra juice in the Gatorade. Hopefully the Reds can explode for another double-digit run performance today with Brady Singer on the mound and make him continue to look really good in that trade, to look really good for the Cincinnati Reds. The wherever you want to call them Athletics are closing out the series with the Southsiders in Chicago. JP Sears takes the mound against Davis Martin. That one starts off at 2:10. Then we got the Giants closing out the series against the Philadelphia Phillies, trying to go 3 of 4. That one start at 4:05. Jordan Hicks faces off against Christopher Sanchez. What are we looking forward to today, other than Rob Thompson being fired, my friend?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one today. Christopher Sanchez was able to generate 5 double plays in his last start on Saturday, which took place in the watch party, by the way. I do like the Phillies' chances today, especially against Jordan Hicks. I like the Phillies' chances in spite of Rob Thompson with Christopher Sanchez on the mound. And I think that the Phillies will come out of this with a series split.
They're going to need it. Christopher Sanchez is one of the best pitchers in baseball when he is hot, as are a lot of the pitchers in the Phillies rotation. That'll be a good one. As we were speaking earlier, Phillies have the Fish up next this weekend, and that will be that should be a good get right series for the Phillies. The Cleveland Guardians are closing out the series with the Baltimore Orioles. Tanner Beebe faces off against Tomoyuki Sugano. And that one will start off at 6:35 p.m. The Detroit Tigers are playing host to the AL Central rival Kansas City Royals. Reds legend and sleeveless jersey model Michael Lorenzen faces off against Reese Olson. Man, I loved Michael Lorenzen in Cincinnati, I got to say.
He threw a no-hitter when he was with the Phillies.
He did throw a no-hitter, which is wild to me because he was never that kind of a guy in Cincinnati. But I loved Michael Lorenzen in Cincinnati. He even liked one of my tweets when I mentioned him. Nice. Way back when. I will never forget him smashing a home run right after his dad passed away. Michael Lorenzen, certified good dude. He taking on the Tigers who lead the AL Mid division.
You know, Michael Lorenzen can say that he's better than Shohei Ohtani because he's a two-way player that threw a no-hitter. Shohei Ohtani's never thrown a no-hitter. So
Shohei Ohtani has never thrown a no-hitter. You are right. That's why are we marketing Shohei so hard when we have Michael Lorenzen right there? Like, come exactly. on now. the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. Will Warren against Taj Bradley. That one will start off tonight at 7:05 on Prime Video. That's I watch all my games on Prime Video because of the FanDuel Sports Network. That's how I got mine. I'm finally able to afford to actually buy the package rather than watch it in unscrupulous ways. We'll just put it that way. The St. Louis Cardinals close out their series against the Mets. Andre Pallante versus Griffin Canning. That one starts off at 7:10 tonight. Go Mets. And then the Los Angeles Angels close out their series with the Texas Rangers. Jack Kokanowicz faces off against Kumar Rocker. That one starts off at 8:05. All right, Troy, what are we looking forward to today other than that Giants-Phillies series closer?
Yeah, if I could watch it, I'd be looking forward to the Taj Bradley start and Will Warren against the Yankees. I think that one's going to be good. I like Taj Bradley, still very high on him. Mariners and Reds should be good, and it's a day baseball game. I do want to point out, since he is starting today, I did get multiple tweets about this after his last start, but it is Kohanowicz.
Kohanowicz. Okay, yeah. that makes sense. It's
you went with the more family friendly Kokanowicz. I said Kokanowicz, and you know it's I was informed that it is Kohanowicz something along those lines, but the C right, is we'll, silent.
We will we'll remember that the next time his name comes up in the rotation. Well, my friend, we were able to keep it under an hour and a half today. If you are not subscribed, please do. Remember, all the cool kids subscribe to the First Pitch podcast. If you are not subscribed and you are just hanging out in on the YouTubes and you see our video and you're not subscribed, please do. It allows me to feed my daughter. No, I'm just joking. I use that line when I'm at work. our link to the Substack that Troy works incredibly hard on is what you can find it on in the description. Words are hard. Troy does a great job with that. Again, today's Substack, fantastic. Troy, gotta compose yourself, my friend. Once again, please like, subscribe. I'm Drew. That is Troy. This has been the First Pitch podcast.